It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. This is the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. Miss Monica's over there doing her jig, running the iPad. What we need is cameras going both directions so
yes,
I can switch it back
yes,
and forth.
Because
when she's over here, she's sometimes animated, but not as much as when she's over there. our guest today is Pastor Rogers. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
It's so good to have you. I'm fine. Thank you. Our sponsor today for Facebook is Prophetic Voice Ministries. We appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much hanging in here with us month after month. And so many of them have been with us a long, long time. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can post it right on the Facebook page. About halfway through the program, we'll take a little break and we'll pray for your needs or praise with you. You can also send it to, this is a new number, 580-485-0837. That's our prayer texting line, so you can send it there. We record in two parts. We put it over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, after the program's over. So if you have someone who doesn't do Facebook and you want them to hear the message, send them there. Have them click on the Hour of Power and then click on whatever day they missed. I think I've covered everything, Scott.
I hope so.
Yeah. It was enough, anyway.
I hear you. Now,
will you pray to start us out?
I would love to. Let's pray. Gracious God, this morning, as we gather wherever we are, on the internet, Facebook, here together, we just pray, Lord, that your word will speak to us, that our hearts will receive your word, and that we will be changed, so that then we go out and we share your good news of hope. We pray that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So their eyes were opened.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you a little story. I really like sports. I think I've made that, if you've been
very clear.
I love some sports. In fact, on my Facebook page, I was at the OU spring game last weekend. I was one of those people that went and did that. But I've grown up with it. My grandparents, my father, mother, we grew up with OU. I've just grown up with it. I went to school there. And so I've been going to games since I was a little kid. I mean, as far back as I can even remember. I know I was going to football games when I was 4 years old. Well, one particular game stands out. And I was in the first grade. So I was probably 5, 6 years old. And I'd gone to games with my dad before. And it was a basketball game at Lloyd Noble. And we were sitting in the stands, and that was in the days when Billy Tubbs was the head coach. So, OU scored a ton of points back then, right? The run and gun stuff. And I loved it. I loved to go. I still love to go. And midway through the first half, I nudged my dad, and I said, "Hey, what's the score?" And he was like, "It's 45-30. Okay. And then right after halftime, I nudged him again, and I said, "Dad, what's the score?" And he was like, "Well, son, it's 65-52 or whatever." And finally, we were getting close to the end of the game, and I did it again, and he was like, "Son, just look at the scoreboard."
Open your eyes, huh?
And I told him, "Well, I can't read it.
Oh.
I can't see it."
Oh.
Whoa, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Guess where I was the next morning?
Uh-huh.
I was at the optometrist. And so I remember going to the optometrist, and sure enough, I needed glasses. I've been wearing glasses since I was in the first grade.
Mm.
I remember getting my glasses, You know, in those days there was no 1 hour place or whatever, so it was a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember getting my glasses, and I went to school the next morning. And did you know that teachers actually write things on the board?
And you didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
No, not a clue. All of a sudden, I mean, I saw all the smudge marks and stuff, but all of a sudden I was like, oh, there's the date, the weather, her, you know, her name. I was like, wow. So I have an affinity for this story that we're going to talk about because I really understand what it means to have your eyes closed or your eyes truly open. Mm-hmm. Because, when I take my glasses off, I mean, I can barely see across the room. Mm-hmm. I can see Monica there, but I mean, if I'd have to really squint to go, I think that's Monica,
mm-hmm.
if I didn't know. Well, I bring that story up because today we come to one of my favorite post-resurrection stories, and it's the story of the two guys walking towards Emmaus, Luke chapter 24, Cleopas and his buddy. And I'm going to give away the ending, and then I'm going to go back and fill the gaps. But what grabs me at this story is the way it's described near the end of it, that Cleopas and his buddy, Scripture says very clearly, their eyes were opened. And they immediately, because their eyes are open, return and start spreading the good news of Jesus, that he is alive, that he is risen from the dead. But to get there, if their eyes were open, that implies something, doesn't it? Up until that point, their eyes were
closed.
So I want us to take a look today at what it means to have our eyes closed and what that means biblically speaking. And I'm going to do that through the Walk to Emmaus story. So the story begins, of course, with these two guys, Cleopas and his buddy, and they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now that's a 7 or 8 mile trip. Now to us, that's just 7 or 8 miles is no big deal, but on foot,
mm-hmm.
that's a hefty little walk,
mm-hmm.
you know? So they make this trek, and they're joined on the road by a stranger. Now, we're going to get to the stranger. Yes, if you know the story, you know the stranger is Jesus, but they don't know that up front. So let's hold that off for a second. And that wouldn't have been that odd. I know I had a person one time say, well, isn't that odd that a stranger would come walk with them? Not really, because one of the things that people did in the first century, walking everywhere, is they traveled in packs. Safety, mm-hmm. security. Maybe, you know, you found out your bread was moldy. You needed something to eat. Or the robbers were going to come. They were much less likely to come and attack a pack of people as opposed to a single person walking mm-hmm. down the road. And so they meet this stranger comes and joins these two guys. And they're talking about some stuff. And the stranger says something that truly is a pretty innocuous thing. He says, what are you guys talking about? And I love their response. Their response is probably the reason this story just grabs my attention. Is they look to the stranger and they go, are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happened? So by the way, we'll push the pause button for just a moment. Don't actually push the pause button, but the pause button for a moment. I want you to remember now the stranger is Jesus, and so they were being indignant with Jesus. That's a whole nother lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, even though it seems like kind of a strange thing, being indignant with Jesus is something actually I think many of us have an affinity for. I think of it like this. How many times at some point have you looked and said, Jesus, don't you know what I'm going through?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Jesus, don't you understand there's only so much of me to go around?
Mm.
I mean, Jesus, don't you get it? And if you've never done that, then bless your heart. But my guess is if you've been a serious Christian for any length of time, you have said those words.
Mm-hmm.
And before you kind of beat yourself up, because this is a point where sometimes I think we go, you shouldn't do that. That's terrible. You stand in really good company.
Mm-hmm.
One of those stories that comes to my mind is when the wind and the waves were going and Jesus was on the boat with the disciples. Do you remember what they said to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
They actually said, Jesus, don't you care?
Right.
I mean, now time out here. You're asking the one that you're following, that you believe to be the Messiah, the Son of God, if he cares.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a sermon in and of itself. In fact, that's more like a sermon series in and of itself, right, for a preacher. But we actually understand what it's like to be sort of indignant. Don't you get it?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we say things like that, especially when we are upset or we are struggling, is I think we want to project our own frustrations and make sure everybody else is just as frustrated as I am. You know, if I'm in a bad mood, I want everybody to be in just as bad a mood as I am. I want them to share in my pain, right? And again, we all try not to do this, but I bet you, again, all of us can come up with those examples. These guys were really hurt, and I don't want to pick at them. I know sometimes they get a bad rap, Cleopas and his buddy, but I don't think they deserve it. These two guys had clearly followed Jesus, or at least were friends with the disciples. They knew the story, so they had to have been at least some kind of companions, right? They know it well enough that, again, when Jesus breaks the bread, they know who he is, right? Later on in the story. So they know the story. And they're sad because once they start telling the stranger, they say things like, well, we thought that Jesus of Nazareth, we thought he was going to be the Messiah. But he was handed over by the chief priests, and he was crucified. And even crazier than that, some of the women went to the tomb this morning, and they said that his body wasn't there. Now, they know the story. They know the right story. They know the right words. They know exactly what they're supposed to know. But I'm not sure they buy it. Because this is the way, to me, it sounds. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory and power and might. God has raised him from the dead. Yeah, let's go home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they buy it. I don't think they believe it. But then again, I told you, I think we have great affinity for this story because sometimes that's the way I feel post-Easter. You know, you come on Easter Sunday and, you know, you might go to a church that has a big organ. We have one and, you know, we hear that song, Christ the Lord is risen today. Just gets my blood just pumping on Easter Sunday, right? And I'll share with you this. Easter Sunday is always funny because I have a group of preachers that's my accountability group, and we all laugh about it every year. I have no trouble getting up on Easter morning. In fact, I beat my alarm almost every Easter, okay? But now this particular episode of Our Power, though, it's after the first Sunday after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know something. On Sunday, my alarm went off twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before I got up. Not like on Easter when I was up and ready to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if sometimes we struggle with that. And I almost wonder if we become numb to the power and the real majesty and glory that Easter and faith in Christ really is. It's almost the same thing as these two guys. Hey, we heard the story from the women that his body wasn't there and, you know, all this stuff, but we're just going to go home. I wonder if it's the same thing. Oh, you know what? Jesus loves me. Yeah, Jesus loves you. You know, I mean, glory to God. Rose from the dead. I mean, that was so last week. I mean, I wonder if that's where we've gotten to, is that we're almost numb to the rising from the dead of the Savior of the world. So once again, I don't want to blame Cleopas and his buddy. I think their response by walking from Emmaus to Jerusalem makes perfect sense to me. You know, I think it makes incredibly perfect sense to me. Because the reality is, in the fact that I don't think they buy in, I think they really do begin to have doubt. They begin to ask the hard questions. They begin to wonder, does this faith stuff really matter? You know, obviously, Jesus isn't who he said he was, so what do we do now? And I wonder how many of our folks leave Easter Sunday and wonder those same things. And I wonder if we sometimes feel those same things. Because it sometimes seems to me, it's like, again, I mentioned sports. It's like, you know, if you get up for the big games, that's great. But sometimes you got to play the regular season, right? Mm-hmm. And for us, sometimes I think we take that for granted. Now, I'll share with you a very personal story on that. During the height of the pandemic, just like everybody else, I had my highs and my lows and those moments when I felt like, you know, the world's falling apart. Then I would feel like, nope, we're gonna work through this. And then the next moment, I'd feel like we're defeated again. I mean, I had the roller coaster like many of us had. But one of my prayers during the pandemic was I said to God, if you will see us through this, and in fact, I even said, when you see us through this, I will never take the church or you for granted again. Boy, it didn't take long for that to start to fail again. You know what I mean? I remember even preaching a couple of sermons on that and saying, hey, you know, we miss one another. We're online. We're not, you know, we only have a few people that when we open back up who came back to church for a while and all that stuff. But by gosh, someday we're not going to take this for granted. But the reality is, I think we do. And the Bible talks about that very specifically. That when faith becomes doubt, when unbelief trumps belief, when we truly almost give up, then our eyes are closed. Our eyes are closed. And I truly believe at this point that the guys at the walk to Emmaus, Cleopas and his buddy, I think their eyes were closed. They just couldn't buy it. And like I said, I wish I didn't know their story so well. Mm-hmm. But I think we do. Now, I will say this to you. If this is where the story ended, this would be a pretty depressing story, by the way. I mean, it really would. I mean, this story would be about doubt and unbelief and faithlessness and eyes that are closed and not knowing what's next. I mean, this would be a really difficult story. But did I mention there was a stranger who joined them on the road? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned that yet or not. So there's a stranger who meets them on the road. And, of course, we go through the whole rigmarole, you know. Hey, what's going on? What are you guys talking about? Are you the only one who doesn't know?
Right.
And he says, well, tell me what things you're talking about. And so Cleopas and his buddy, remember, they tell the story. Tell it well. And the stranger says, how slow you are to believe. And scripture says, and starting with the law and the prophets, he began to tell them about the Messiah. This is Jesus sort of setting the record straight. Jesus clearing some things up. Now, this is when myself and probably many of you start to squirm a little. Because Jesus is going to start clearing some stuff up. And the funny thing about Jesus clearing some things up is that sometimes it doesn't clear up the way we thought it should. And yet, that's just reality. You see, one of the things that happens with this is that Jesus begins to clear up what they thought was going to happen versus what actually happened. They had a vision, as many in the first century did, of Jewish thinkers, of what the Messiah was really going to be. The Messiah was going to come in and defeat the Romans, be this real militaristic, kingly leader. He was going to push out all the oppressors, and Jerusalem was going to be free once again. The temple was going to basically be in charge, and this was going to be what the Messiah was going to do. And I think that's what a lot of the people who came on the road on Palm Sunday thought. If you look at the titles on Palm Sunday, Hosanna to the King, Son of David, you know, all those, I mean, these were messianic titles for a king. And I think that's what they anticipated. I think that's what Cleopas and his buddy anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
I would even argue, you could make an argument, that's what, you know, depending on how you view Judas, I think you could make an argument that might have been Judas's motivation. Now, there's two lines of thought on Judas. One, he was evil and just did this. The other one is, maybe Judas was successful. He got Jesus in front of Pontius Pilate in less than 6 hours.
Mm.
Right? I mean, when you look at it from that perspective, you're like, oh, you know? I mean, who gets an audience with Pontius Pilate in less than 6 hours?
Right.
And yet Jesus ends up at Fortress Antonia, the Praetorium, in less than 6 hours, in front of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. I mean, I could imagine some of the people going, here it comes. You know, this is like the heavyweight fight. Jesus, the Messiah, is literally standing in the seat of power with the seat of power. And so you can imagine their dismay, though, when the seat of power comes out and says, look, I didn't find anything wrong with him, but what do you want me to do with him? We want you to crucify him. And eventually Pilate, of course, relents and says, okay. Has him flogged and crucifies him. So you can imagine what happens when the way you think things are supposed to go doesn't happen that way. When the way you have decided your life, our lives, the world's life is supposed to go, and when it doesn't happen that way, it can mess with you. It can really mess with your psyche. It can mess with your psychology and absolutely mess with you spiritually. Because here's what it normally sounds like. And again, I don't like this part of the story, by the way, because I don't want to admit that I do this. But there have been many times in my life, and I bet you your lives, where you've told Jesus what's going to happen and then said, now I need you to bless this. Jesus, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what should happen, and you need to bless it. Mm-hmm. Rather than, Jesus, show me the way, and I will follow. Those are two completely different concepts.
Yes.
Those are completely different concepts. One has eyes that are open, and one has eyes that are closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that that's part of the problem in this story. Cleopas and his buddy are taking a 7-8 mile lament walk back to Emmaus. The things in Jerusalem didn't go the way they thought they would. And they don't know what to do. Boy. Sometimes that sounds awful familiar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Life didn't go the way I thought it would. Things didn't happen in the order I thought they would. That's not who I thought I was going to marry. That's not the job I thought I was going to have. That's not how I thought this was going to go. And I didn't plan on this illness, or I didn't plan on this bill. I just don't understand. I don't know what's next for me. And that really does mess with you. And I think that's what's going on here in Emmaus, on this walk to Emmaus. I think these two are sort of embodying what doubt and fear really look like. Doubt and fear aren't always, I don't believe in Jesus. Doubt and fear sometimes are, I believe in Jesus, but it's not going the way I thought it would. Fear isn't, sometimes, well, you know what? There's no God. Fear is, why does God not seem to be working for me? Those are two different concepts. And I think that's what's going on here. And I think that's why this distinction that the scripture seems to make about eyes being open and eyes being closed is so incredibly powerful. Because when scripture makes that distinction, I think it is a challenge and an opportunity for us to see, there's that word see again, mm-hmm. but to see God still at work, even when the world seems to be spinning out of control. And maybe even more specific, when my world seems to be spinning out of control. Now, when we come back, I'm going to tell you why I think this why they think this is, and then I want to talk about how our eyes are open. We'll do that in the second half of the show.
Okay. We do have several prayer requests. We've prayed for Cindy Sebastian a couple of times over the past week and even yesterday. She'd been transferred to Oklahoma City Heart Hospital yesterday with fluid around her heart. She was then placed on a vent, and they drained all the fluid from her lungs. So today the word is she is feeling better. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then we want to pray for Ella Pearl Kirk as she now has hospice care. I can't remember how old Ella Pearl is, but probably in her 80s. And last I knew, she was in Bell Avenue. And so I'm not sure exactly where she is right now, but she's known her for a long, long time, but didn't know she'd been moved from there. So I want to pray for the family of Lonnie Dixon, who went to his heavenly home this past Friday. And I know Lonnie had dealt with cancer several times over the past several years, maybe, but I'm not sure exactly what happened this time. But I know God knows, and I know he's in the hands of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And then we want to pray for Ivan Barrera, sweet man of God. He has dealt with so many different things concerning diabetes is what it started out with, but he's been on dialysis and this and that. But now his legs are being attacked by something that is causing the skin to peel off and bleed. And Ivan is, he's a
That's
young
tough.
Man. Yes, he's probably 50. He's the age of some of my kids, which they range from 50 to 58. So can't remember exactly where he is, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly do that. Let's let's have a word of prayer. Gracious and almighty God, we lift up these prayer requests to you today. And all the prayer requests that are on our hearts before you today. We want to pray for Cindy Sebastian right now. Whatever is going on with her, Lord, I'm glad she's feeling better, but I ask that you continue to heal her, to be with her, and just remind her that you're with her every moment and every step of her journey. We want to pray for Ella. We just say, Lord, if in fact, you know, being on hospice, that she is nearing the end of her time on earth, I just pray, God, that you will find peace and rest with you every day, as free of pain as possible. And when that time comes, oh God, just wrap your arms around her in your loving care. We pray for the family of Lonnie Dixon. Lord, we will pray for that family. We ask for comfort and peace for them. And we want to pray for Ivan today, Lord. We just ask, God, that you heal him, protect him. Again, help him to have as little pain as possible. But most importantly, God, wrap your arms around him. Let him know you're there, even in the hard times. And Lord, today we also want to pray for all the prayer requests that are on our hearts. Sometimes, God, there are prayer requests that we have buried way down deep that we almost can't even verbalize to ourselves. But we are thankful that your Spirit prays for us. And so right now we want to offer that to you, that your Spirit pray for us, those prayer requests that maybe we can't lift up by name. And we ask in all of these, it's not our easiest prayer, Lord, because it's hard for us to do. But we do want to pray this prayer. May your will be done. Mm-hmm. And we do pray that if there's anything that we can do, if we can be your hands, your feet, your voice, your presence, would you show us your way so that ultimately we can show people your love and we can be present with them. So, Lord, we just pray all of these things today in your Son, Jesus' name.
Amen. Monty, you have another one?
Yes, ma'am. I have a couple more.
Okay.
The first one is for the family of Mark Coburn. He's a resident of Kermit, Texas. If we could pray for his family. He passed away April 24th at the age of 61 after a great deal of being surrounded by family and friends. And then if we can pray for my sweet friend, Matt.
All right. Let's pray for them too, real quick. Lord, we come to you again and with a couple of more prayer requests, specifically for the family of Mark Coburn. Lord, again, be with their family through this trying time. It sounds like he just passed a day or two ago, and so I've walked a lot of journeys with families dealing with that, and I just pray, Lord, for them as they walk that journey. And I also lift up Max as he gets ready to take his CDL test and just with everything going on with Max, we just pray you're with him and that your peace is upon him and that your grace and wisdom surround him. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Monica's got her hand up again.
Yes, Monica.
And can I sing happy birthday to Robert?
You can.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Robert. Happy birthday to you. We love you. God
bless you. Good job, Monica.
Thank you.
Now,
thank
you should have come around over here and been on camera singing that.
That's right.
I didn't.
Oh, good grief, Monica.
Mine, I'm just
oh, good grief.